thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
All right.
Here's John Williams.
One of them is, I'm just sad. But we'll get through it all the way until 3 o'clock. It's the John Williams Show.
Lord have mercy.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm here until 3 o'clock. Then Ro and Anna will entertain and inform you. Short week for me this week, by the way. I'll be here Monday through Thursday. Where'd my music go? I'm here Monday through Thursday this week. I'm taking Friday off and Saturday. Kim, my son, my oldest son, is getting married.
Isn't it just so exciting? Congratulations. I've had one son get married, and I'm having another one get married in June. So I've been there, done that, and it's just incredible.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that. Because we're excited, but to be honest with you,
it's stressful.
We're looking at Saturday more as a finish line than a celebration.
Right.
And that's not fair to them or it. Well, like, we're really excited, but good grief, this is exhausting.
It is. But, you know, it's funny that you say it's a finish line, because I said to my son and daughter-in-law when they got married that I said, you know, this is just a party, and it's actually the first day of the rest of your life.
Nice. Yeah, so, that's true. And I really think that's the word that my wife and I have sort of reminded ourselves that. Weddings are out of hand. Hey, I got a newsflash for you.
Yeah.
Weddings are out of hand.
Thanks.
They are out of control. You think health insurance or new cars or, I don't know, picket are expensive these days? Weddings are expensive. I know you can do it for $100. I mean, you could just do it in the backyard and not spend a nickel. The version we're doing costs more than a nickel. Wow.
Yeah, it is. But you're going to love it.
And there's so many options that are available that didn't used to be. I'm like, who thought of that?
I know. And
really?
It all starts even now. Like, you know, when I got engaged, my husband just said, you know, do you want to marry me? And that was it. Now they're so lavish. It starts with that. And it just, you know, it just goes forward. So many other events with these out-of-town bachelor and bachelorette parties.
And the engagement ceremonies where everybody comes to watch you propose.
Right, yeah.
And then
that's what I'm saying.
The new couple pictures before the wedding pictures.
Right, the engagement pictures and the showers and all the things.
I sort of checked out when I overheard in my family a discussion about the font size on the placement cards for the tables. Fortunately for me, I don't have to be involved in any of these discussions. Never, they really haven't asked me for my opinion on this stuff much, which suits me just fine. I don't feel excluded. They know I just don't have a lot to offer.
Right. Well,
and I don't.
I sort of like that kind of stuff. But, you know, you just can't be curmudgeon-y. You got to celebrate the good times, right?
Absolutely.
Even though it's over the top
and a
lot.
It's a celebration.
Exactly.
And my wife, Brenda, and I have an anniversary coming up this month also. So while my son and his lovely fiance are getting married, a couple weeks later, it'll be our anniversary. So we're just saying, you know, we could have bought a Mercedes, but we're having a celebration.
Right. It's Thanksgiving time. Count the blessings, John.
Count the blessings. Not to ignore the obvious, the news over the weekend was so upsetting to so many of us. It's just all too familiar. Something needs to change. We're not going to dwell on that a lot today. The news will continue to cover it. And if there becomes an angle that is different than the angles that we've covered 1,000 times before, I'll be happy to dive into there. But I want you to know that I'm not ignoring it. I just don't have much new to say. Let's get people better mental health care. And let's make it harder for people to legally and to illegally buy guns. Pretty much now, anybody who wants a gun can get a gun. We haven't achieved some kind of middle ground on this topic before. There's zillions of guns out there. And after each mass shooting, we do nothing. We're not pulling back at all. And I'd like to see us give a pass to the lawmakers just once. If you voted for somebody because they are pro-gun owners' rights, and after a shooting like this, they vote against some NRA position, let's not crucify the politician that takes a step back just for a second. Let's let them just dip a toe onto the other side. It can't get much worse than it is, right? I mean, what's going to happen if they don't vote with the NRA one of these times? Is it more people going to get shot? We're having mass shootings every week. And surely you voted for these people for reasons other than their NRA score. So if someone says, well, I want to just try something else beside praying, let's let them vote to outlaw bump stocks. Let's let them vote to make semi-automatic weapons really hard to get a hold of or impossible to get a hold of. If they come up with some other requirement that would at least satisfy the other side a little bit, just give them a breath. Let's let them do it. And still let those people serve in office. If you voted for them, let's continue to let them, you know, let's not hold their jobs over their head if they take one step away from the gun ownership that we have in this country. And I'm not saying that that little step will fix anything, but at least we'll say that as a society, we had a reaction, that we tried, that we did more than just hope God can fix this or at least ease their pain. So that's where that story is. Much less painful, but so frustrating. I just posted on Facebook before the show today a picture of me and my crown. It's halfway around my head. I'm sitting there in front of the computer, and this is the truth. I'm looking at the average premiums in Illinois and other states, and I'm looking at my own. So I changed jobs recently, and I went from one health carrier to another, and I'm just shocked. When I was in Minnesota, and this isn't, I don't know what this is, I was with a union, a SAG-AFTRA, and my health premiums were about $350 a quarter, per quarter. Every 3 months, I paid about $350. Now, I get paid 26 times a year. I will pay $424 per paycheck. So you do the math. A friend of mine here at work was in tears recently, and she was talking about what her costs were. And while her costs were less than mine, they weren't drastically less, and it was just her. I'm paying for three.
If you throw your union dues in there?
It would be higher.
It would be higher?
Well, I mean, no,
it'd be higher, but it wouldn't be higher than what you're paying now.
Correct. I think my union dues were about $1,000 a year. So divide that by 26, and what are you at, Steve? 20
less, yeah.
I mean, it's just too expensive, and I don't know why or how. So I've asked on my Facebook page. I'm King John on Facebook. You can find me there. It's posted on WGN Radio's Facebook page as well. You can link to it there. But anyway, I said, tell me what your premium is and your deductibles. And a lot of you have premiums that are less than mine, but your deductibles are higher. A lot of you are paying, where I'm paying what, I'm paying about $900 a month. Some of you are paying less than that, but your deductibles are $5,000. You know, so what you're doing is you're saying, I'm going to get insurance coverage, but I'm planning on never using it, because I'm going to pay the first $5,000 or the first $3,500, which that's a real, that I want to be an insurance company someday when I grow up. I'm going to say, okay, here's what I've got for you. It's going to be really expensive, but it's going to be so expensive that you'll never use it. Okay. Are we good on that? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So if you're an insurance company, you take all of these premiums, but you're hoping you never have to pay out because the deductible is so high for these people. And if you want to get the deductible lower, then you know the equation, the premium goes up. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle. And so while my one friend was literally in tears, I was so frustrated when I got home that I began to engage in the sort of habits that will require me to use healthcare services. I started drinking. I ate bad food. I'm thinking about taking up smoking. What the hell? You know, I've got insurance. I might as
you're paying for it anyway.
Well, I know that's a thing. So if like my deductible is 900, I'm thinking, well, then let's get to 1,000. I think I'll just go, you know, jump off a bridge, break my leg. I'll be past 1,000, and then I'll be able to start to use these things. I mean, I don't know if I want to get past the 900 or not. I guess I don't. I guess I want to give them $10,000 this year and never actually use it. That would be swell. See, if you have a radio show, you get to do this. Here, I'm just dialing up my Facebook page. John, my wife and I are both self-employed. We have one dependent. I pay for my own coverage for 25 years. Last year before ACA, my premium was $600. First year of ACA, $900. Second year, $1,250. This year, it's $1,700. He didn't say per what. I don't know if that's per year or per month or whatever. If it goes up again, we're just going to pay the fine and roll the dice. King John, when you get to be king, can't you do something about this? I cannot. Hey, John, I'm so lucky I'm retired, and mine is still roughly through my employer. I only pay $170 a month. though will go up some next year. I pay $35 for dental. John, for my husband and me, Blue Cross Blue Shield insurance through the employer, high deductible, $4,000 per person annually. So there it is, Steve. The husband and wife are each at $4,000 individually before they get to use their insurance. And they're paying $489 a month. Okay, that's about half what I'm paying, but my deductible is much less than theirs. And then they put $520 a month into an HSA account, which they say you should do. A story in the Tribune today says you should do that as much as you can. And then you got to try and guess how much health coverage you're going to need. John, mine is over $500 a month through my employer with a $5,000 deductible. And that's just for me. And I'm in my mid-60s and I'm in good health. Terry says, I pay $495 a month with a $2,000 deductible for myself. This on the Cobra plan because it's less expensive than going through a provider. Huh. So there's some of that. You can text to 312-981-7200 or you can call. I just want to hear some numbers. I just want to know what it's like out there. This is WGN.
On the back end, it's gone!
Coach Q looking for goals. If you have any, please send them immediately.
We're in the winning business. Winning business.
I'll talk to him at 8:40 about your Blackhawks.
The Steve Cochran Show, tomorrow at 6 on 720 WGN.
In fact, you know what I think I should do, Steve? I think I should start my own insurance company. I'm going to become my own insurance company. Here's what we're going to do. You, me, Andrea, Elif, just a bunch of us. Let's all just every month throw some money into a pool. Most of us don't use insurance coverage much, but if any of us needs it, say we got to go to a doctor, there'll be some money there. I'll bet we could do better if we just all of us pooled our money.
You think so, huh?
We'll take what I'm throwing in there, and well, it's a bit of a roll of the dice. I grant you.
Until something bad.
Well, there will be some money there. There will be some money there. Yeah. We're all going to pay in every month.
There actually are, you know, programs like that. Now, I don't know if I've had them on my show or I've talked about them.
Yeah.
I want to say there are a couple of their Christian groups, Samaritans, and they have their own pool. And so when someone needs money, they're in this sort of co-op.
Yeah.
And they put the letter out, and the checks just come in the mail.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not kidding you. Well, really, it exists.
It would seem to me like there's got to be a...
So they're all in this society together where they agreed, you know, that they're going to write a check of $100 or $200 a month.
Right.
It's going to go to someone. And then the people who have a claim, they send it into this co-op and say, I need $10,000 for a knee replacement. And the individual checks come in the mail from people.
From individuals. Okay, so then what if nobody needed anything that month? Would somebody collect the money and just keep it in the bank?
It's like the Powerball. You get a rollover.
Play ball. Celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and la-di-da. Go to ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Amida Health knows you like no one else, the one who's there for you always. Lifelong bonds that make all the difference, the one who knows what you need and when you need it at Amida Health. They always put you first. Amida Health includes 9 hospitals, 7 immediate care centers, and 78 outpatient locations. In the west and northwest suburbs, visit AmidaHealth.org/YOU or call 855-MY-AMIDA in sickness and in health. My son pays about $85 a month, I think it's $80. He pays about $160 a month. And I think maybe the difference is between me and him, besides the fact that I'm covering more people. But a couple of you pointed this out on my Facebook page where we're having this conversation. I'm King John on Facebook. His company's just putting more in. Right, Steve? It's quite possible that his costs are not that different than mine, but our employer is not putting in the kind of money that his employer is.
That's possible.
I mean, it's not a given what any company is going to decide to pay for your health care. They'll pick up some of the premium, but not all of it. And I'll bet you that's the difference.
Have a different deductible or... Is his half of yours?
I don't know what his deductible is. And he's just himself. He's not 3 people. I'm
insuring 3. You're 3 people. Yeah, that's a family.
And then they started to ask me questions like, well, do I want to put my dogs on this thing? I'm like, yeah, sure. I got a vacuum cleaner. Let's put that in there, too. They said, well, do you want the dismemberment coverage? I said, I work at a radio station. No. My luck, I'll lose a leg tomorrow. I think the only time in the history of broadcasting or any allied broadcasting fields that anybody was dismembered was in an episode of Mad Men when they were driving a riding lawnmower through the office. You may remember that scene. Let's pick up a couple of phone calls. Dan, you're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Hey, John. Glad you're back.
Thank you.
I've got some personal experience with this subject. When ACA was passed through Congress, Speaker Pelosi invited me to address the nation from the steps of the Capitol.
Who is this? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? Who are you?
Yeah, it was quite a hoot.
No, but I mean, why? Why did? Who are you that Speaker Pelosi asked you to do that?
Because I got involved in I became a political activist for the first time in my life. Because I got thrown out of the insurance industry, and you know it's wonderful to have the best insurance. I mean, the best health system in the world. But if you don't have access to it, what good is it?
Yeah.
I missed a payment, and they kicked me out.
Oh.
And so I went years without health insurance. But because of the ACA, I got it back, and it was great. I got a couple hips replaced.
Yeah, hold on.
Time is your enemy here, friend.
I know. I don't know where it is, Steve. Oh, no. Okay, good. He hit it. Listen, thanks for the phone call. I'm sorry. You can't keep talking on the radio. I don't know if I got that in time. Gene, you're on the air. You know, Steve, that should be the first thing they do when they train new hires here. There's a button. You're probably not going to need it, but here it is.
Did little Joey Romano save your skin?
He says he did, but I don't know where the button is.
Are you encouraging others to test you?
No, because Joey knows. Hi, Gene, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
I have no interest in testing you, John.
Thank you.
I enjoy you too much, but, I think it's because we were such a new country. I mean, we didn't know it already had been discovered. The Indians were here, but we just think we know everything and we have the best of everything, and nobody else has any good ideas but us. And we're the only country in the civilized group of countries, yeah, like, you know, whatever, you know who they are, Great Britain and France and all, who have enormous bankruptcies because of medical costs. I think it's between 400,000 and 600,000 a year.
Bankruptcies in this country because people can't pay their medical bills. I believe anything today. Gene, I appreciate your call. I'm going to Denny in moments. Hey, Denny, you're on the air. What did you want to say?
Hey, John. I had my wife and I last year paid $1,500 a month for our premiums. And each of us had $6,500 deductibles. And we switched, we took a chance to one of the programs that Steve was just referring to called MediShare.
Wow. Yeah.
And we reduced our premiums to about $600 a month with a total of $3,700 deductible. But the kicker is, on those programs, they're not insurance companies. They're a pool. And you're not insured for any pre-existing conditions. And so you're really shaking the dice if you take those.
How's that worked out for you so far?
Well, so far we haven't had to use it, so it's working good. But, you know, we were spending almost, our exposure was like $30,000 a year for health care.
Yeah. You know, that's the problem, too, isn't it? I mean, I appreciate the phone call. Well, good luck to you, Denny. Keep us posted on that. They're whispering in my ear that I got to take a break and learn where that button is on WGN.
I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
We have not played Handyman Poker in a while. I challenge you to a game before 3 o'clock. Are you game?
I win this week. Who are we kidding? I win every week.
Handyman Poker is a game we all play, whether we know it or not. It's where on Monday you catch up with your friends and they say, what did you do over the weekend? And you say, well, I resealed the caulk and the thing under the Fratostat. And the other guy goes, oh, yeah, well, I was out in the garage and we did the underlining of the pinion heads and then we replaced those. Stuff like that. So Steve and I play this game every now and then, and I don't know why Steve tends to win. I think it's a sympathy thing. I think a lot of people go, well, let's give the newsman a break.
That and I'm handier.
I took down my Halloween decorations.
See, that's the sort of thing John would do, Phil.
Not for me, he wouldn't. Phil Vittel, that's why I did it.
Phil Vittel's in our studio, the restaurant critic for the Tribune. Are your Halloween decorations elaborate?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty
so
much.
So them going up and coming down is more than just throwing away a pumpkin.
No. Yeah, it takes a while. There's a fake graveyard with clever tombstones to be put away where it won't get wet, and then there are lights to take down. There's a witch that looks like it's slammed into the side of my house that
nice.
I have to take.
Nice.
I have to go up a ladder to get that back. Yeah.
Phil, there's two kinds of people in the world, and I'm worried about which one you are.
So many have.
Here is the kind of people you need to tell me which you are. Inflatable lawn decorations or not?
Not.
Yeah.
Thank you. I don't do
Thank you.
Inflatable.
Because those are out there now. And some of
sure.
them are delightful. And God bless you. I'm happy for you if it brings you joy. But I just don't.
Right.
Got that little motor running out front. It and does. It's a dog that's half leaned over. And it's not Christmas.
It's never resonated with me. I'm happy to look at other people's inflatable jollity, but it's not for me.
Speaking of jollity, earlier today, again, Phil Vittel joins us weekdays once a week here on the show, or at least has been for the last few weeks.
It's been fun.
Have been appreciating your company. And you're going to be out of town later this week, right?
Right. My son's getting married, and I'm off to Mexico.
Your son's getting married on the 11th?
Yes.
As is my son.
Right.
We're not sure whose is... been more effort. I don't know. You haven't actually complained to me.
I have done nothing. Yeah. I have done nothing. I helped them acquire some items that are going into the surprise goodie bag that people are going to get when they check into the hotel. I think that was it.
These are the kinds of micro decisions that have to be made. Do we do a gift bag for the people that come into the hotel? And then water? No water. Nuts? Yes, nuts. No nuts. If nuts, what kind of nuts? The 1/2 ounce? The 1.5 ounce? Do we even do a gift bag? What kind of products do we put in there?
Yesterday, he sent me a text saying, if you're checking baggage, yeah, I'm going to a wedding 5 days in Mexico. Of course I'm checking a bag. Yes, I'm checking a bag. If you're checking bags, could you bring some empty wine bottles? We're thinking of using them as a decorative element. I said, you have just 60 people coming to this wedding. How much room for empty wine bottles? And what am I going to tell the person who opens my suitcase when I arrive in Cancun and they say,
I was at
what
the bar.
Is this?
I was at the bar. They were having
right.
a special.
It was a really bumpy ride. And I sweet-talked the stewardess. Empty wine bottles? And could you get? I said, yeah, see, I could probably bring.
Dude, you're in Mexico. I'll bet they've got some there. Drink some wine.
That's what I said. I said, it's an all-inclusive. I said, the first 2 days alone, we will have all the empties you want.
How do you not have 30 empty bottles already?
Yeah. I said, trust me, I will make this happen when I get there.
Yeah.
If
really.
I all by myself.
If I have to go to the Costco in Mexico and empty the bottles
right.
of wine into the drain at the parking lot,
yeah,
we can get you that.
A couple of bottles of 2 peso Chuck and
really,
off we
as, go. As opposed to the cost of an extra bag.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, then it's $100 for the bag or whatever the fee is. So the Tribune does an annual Christmas cookie contest.
Has for decades.
The judging was today, which means people had previously submitted recipes and the finalists were given a chance to bake them. And then the 16 cookies were tried by you all today.
Correct.
I was there for the tasting as well today. You all were judging. I was sort of a celebrity taster on the side. I thought, and I'm very picky about my cookies. Every single one of those cookies was good.
I was really happy with this year's. I mean, I've done this for, this may be the 20th one I've done. And this was a very strong year. This is the strongest year I can remember. And, of course, I can only keep these sugar-dusted memories so long. But this was a very strong year. There
I
were
thought
no
it
losers
was.
In there.
And there was only one cookie that was maybe one of the prettiest. But I thought that's what you got. You got a real pretty cookie, but it didn't have a lot of flavor, and the texture didn't work for me. There was nary a Toll House cookie in there.
No. I suspect because we had 92 submissions, and then we put all the recipes online, and people got to vote for their favorites, the ones they liked. And, of course, the people who have a you know, have a dumpling in this fight are there telling all their friends, go to the site and vote for me. And, you know, that's fun. And I'm going to guess that a Toll House Recipes just isn't going to get that much traction because everybody has one.
One was a butter cookie, and that was pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I thought, oh, no, you're a butter cookie. And there's a sweet potato pie cookie over here and an orange zest thing over there.
Mm-hmm. But there's nothing like a good butter cookie.
I totally agree. At the end of the day, you give me a moist butter cookie with the right kind of icing, and I don't need to talk to anybody else after that.
No, it's a very satisfying thing.
So are you able to tell me much about who are the front runners in this year's contest?
No, I can't. I don't want to mention any names because, first of all, I should say, I am one vote of more than a dozen voters, so I can only affect this to a very small degree. But there was one that I really liked that had kind of a layered shortbread cookie with a fruity middle, and then they put like little crunched nuts topping on top of that and added a little bit of powdered sugar, which is really involved for a cookie.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's too much, but I thought it was great, and I loved it.
They were pretty. They were all pretty, some prettier than others.
Right.
And then that's the sort of equation that you need to balance. If it's so pretty that you've compromised the flavor, then have you really made a good cookie? But there were some that were delicious but weren't as pretty as the others, and so I, in my mind, was scoring them down a little bit. The other funny thing is that as I'm looking at you and a couple of your colleagues' score sheets and my own, again, I just did it on the side but used the same system you all did. Some of us had an 8 and some of us had a 2 for the same cookie.
Yep.
Isn't that funny?
It is. It is. There's a fair amount of there would be a fair amount of argument if we all sat at the table at the end and said, okay, these are our top three.
Well, do you agree, though, that I don't know that I've tasted so many spice, orange, cranberry, that kind of taste. There was a few that had that.
There were.
Of the 16, and that, I'm not used to that.
Right. It makes perfect sense because these are ingredients that are readily available this time of year. And so these were great ideas. This is the time of year when if you're going to have fruit, you're going to have citrus, unless you've preserved some raspberries from the summer, which obviously a couple of these bakers did.
So the entries will be displayed after Thanksgiving.
Right.
In the Tribune.
We'll announce our winners. Well, there'll be three winners out of the 16.
I'll be honest with you. I'm a texture guy. I need my cookie to be the right density and also the right softness and moistness.
Yes.
I thought, and for cookies that maybe they were baked this morning, but had made the trip and had an opportunity to dry out, I thought they were really good.
Right. And if you'd looked way in the corner, we had stacked all the sealed containers that these cookies arrived in. And these bakers probably put as much effort into making sure that these cookies were transportable as they did making sure they were delicious because they were really well taken care of.
So you'll see them in the Chicago Tribune after Thanksgiving. It's nice to see so many people respond, and whichever one they pick is a winner, with maybe one exception. And I'll at least maybe we'll come back when you all do the big reveal.
That might be fun.
But thank you for inviting me to be part of that. Incidentally, I asked you a few weeks ago to give me some places around Wrigley Field when we were in the playoffs that would be fun to eat. And you gave me a list of about 10 places that you thought weren't bad. One by one, we're checking them off.
All right.
Brendan and I actually were walking up and down Southport the other day and couldn't find a place that was working for us. So then we just sort of headed back. And next thing you know, we're on Sheffield, a little bit south. And we go, oh, they're Sheffield's. So we went into Sheffield's, which is on Sheffield.
And easy to find.
I was disappointed.
Ah.
Yeah. Of course, you know, I'm not a restaurant critic. I suppose when you do a review, you go 2-3 times, right? Before you actually
Not reviewed Sheffield's. That's just my default for a decent burger and a beer before the game.
And I didn't get, so, you know, really maybe that's it because they have a great beer garden and they have a lot of different beers on tap. And I tried one of them and that was pretty good. But then I said, you know what? I'm not going to get a beer. I just took a little sample shot. I'm going to have a Sazerac.
Uh-huh.
Lovely. What a great Sazerac they
really?
Make. And Brenda had an old fashioned. We were just winging it. And then she had a veggie burger, and I had that slow-cooked chicken that you then dip in some sauce, and it was too dry. Brenda's veggie burger wasn't hot, and don't you hate it when that happens?
Yep.
So the fries were okay. They were good, but it wasn't... It wasn't the best meal we've had in the neighborhood.
Work.
Yeah. So I'll give him a pass.
A lot of people think if you're cooking the chicken in broth in a sauce, the great thing is it won't dry out. Yes, it will.
Whatever happened to this one, that's what happened to this one. So now I got to give you some other assignments, or at least suggestions for things for you to think about for
mm-hmm.
us.
Sure.
You've already given us Thanksgiving restaurants, places right. to make your reservations by. But I'll maybe down the road ask you cozy restaurants in the city and suburbs, places that mm-hmm. when it does start to get cold and snowy would be a good place with. And Sheffield's had a fireplace. And I thought, oh, how nice. That's kind of lovely.
Yep.
I think Uncommon Ground does, too, where you walked in and you went, oh, that does so much for the vibe of the room.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to have a fireplace. But where would you say would be some of the winter friendly, coziest pubs and restaurants in the city?
Well, the first one I would mention is your Thanksgiving Default, which is Larry's the Prime Rib.
Yeah.
Which is just lovely in the cold weather.
Big old dining room mm-hmm. and wood.
And it's cloth. Just so old-timey.
Yeah.
And this time, right around Thanksgiving, then the Dickens Carolers will show up, and they're in their little period costumes. They're doing their thing. And you have a heart of stone not to enjoy that.
How can you not like
to
that?
Enjoy that place. So, yeah, let me think more about cool fireplaces. I've been forgetting that, but yeah.
Are you in the paper Wednesday?
I am in the paper Wednesday. Am I in the paper Wednesday? I can't remember. No, I'm not.
It's the sort of thing that I think if you'd written something, you would have remembered.
No, you
so
know what the thing
not.
Is? Once I'm on to my next thing,
I've turned it in and don't know when they're
running. In fact, yes, my review of Portsmouth is in the paper on Wednesday.
Portsmouth.
Yeah, it's over in the Dana Hotel on State Street around the 600 block. And the Dana Hotel has been home to several restaurants in its short history, none of which has ever really caught on. And I will say that this is the best effort they've ever had in that address.
Mm-hmm.
And it's by the 50-50 people who have the Berkshire Room, who have Steadfast in the Loop, who have Roots Artisan Pizza, and the Homestead. Homestead on the Roof on the West Side. So. Yeah, they know what they're doing, and this is a really good restaurant.
Portsmouth,
one word.
In Wednesday's Chicago Tribune.
Mm-hmm.
Phil Vitale. All right, nice to see you. Thanks for letting me be part of the cookie exchange.
I'm glad you liked it.
Or tasting and testing mm-hmm. And judging upstairs today, and the big reveal after Thanksgiving.
Yep.
My best to your son and his fiance, your future daughter-in-law.
And you and yours.
Yeah, we both have the same thing going on this weekend. It's 151 on WGN. Rick Morrissey in the Chicago Sun-Times had a piece. NFL is paying the price for selling patriotism. Did you see that? Is paying the price for selling patriotism. It was in the Sun-Times. A couple of notes and lines from that after the news. You may agree with what he said. You may not. Boy, did he say it well. That'll come your way in the next hour. Speaking of sports, Sam Panionovich always gives us a few of the highlights over the weekend on Mondays. Sam will say hi to us and tell us how he picked some NFL games over the weekend. And I did reach the people at Kaiser Health to just tell me, okay, you're filling out your health insurance premium electives right now. Everybody's doing it right now until about the middle of November, 1st of December, depending on your plan. So what is the average premium? What is the average deductible? And how do you or I stack up? How do we compare? We'll do that at 2:20. If you want to know where you fit in, be listening at 2:20. My productivity over the weekends has gone down considerably in the last 4 weeks because as of 4 Sundays ago, I began to try to do the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle. I've never been a crossword guy. I've always been a Sudoku guy. Don't like crossword puzzles. I don't know. I picked one up and I started to do it. And I got some of them right. And then I worked on it some more and worked on it some more. And the next thing you know, I spent the whole week trying to get it finished by Sunday. My criticism of the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle by Will Shorts is that it seems to me like it's just a little too cute for its own good. Like, I may know something or I may have the right words in general in my life. But if you... I always thought the crossword puzzles were like, how much do you know? And do you know the words for them? But some of these are puns or double entendres or alternate meanings that you wouldn't be thinking of. That's the challenge of a Sunday New York Times crossword puzzle. So I'm learning how to do it. But as a result, I get up Sunday morning and I put my head down And I don't come up until the next Sunday morning, all my available moments. I'm standing there on the train with holding this as we rattle along.
Is this to stave off some sort of Alzheimer's or things like that? Or what's exactly behind this?
I don't know that it's, well, I don't think it's bad for my brain to be, you know, engaged in this sort of thing. But then some of them are just flat out like factoids that make me nuts all week. Here's one. Ready? Artists with the third most top 40 hits in the 1960s behind Elvis and the Beatles. So you go, if I said number one hits in the 1960s, you go Elvis or the Beatles. Yeah, that's one and two. Who's number three?
Roy Orbison.
It's not Roy Orbison. It would help if the fourth letter was an I and the fifth letter was a C and it went nine letters. So Ray Charles works.
Liberace.
And the Supreme works. L-I-B-E-R. No, you got the I in the wrong place. I need the I as the fourth letter, I think.
He put the I in the wrong place, not me.
That's a problem. That's the thing. You go, I think I've got this right. Maybe I don't. I know I'm not telling you anything new about crossword puzzles, but I'm like, how do we not know who the number three artist is of the 1960s? It's not the Rolling Stone. It's not Glenn Campbell. You know, it could be like a Roy Orbison, some sort of country singer.
It could be Dusty Springfield.
Right. It could be Johnny Mathis or Frank Sinatra. I mean, that was pop back in the 60s or 50s anyway, as we segued in.
The Ray Conniff of singers.
Artists with the third most top 40 hits in the 1960s. I don't want to cheat on my New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, but if you could text that answer to 312.
This is going to be a Monday thing, isn't it?
Yes. 981-7200. It would be much appreciated.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Or
here's John Williams.
Asking for your help. It's 207. All right, I think I got the answer, Steve. This is shocking. Also, more on healthcare coverage. Coming up in this half hour, our friends from Kaiser Health, the news network that's dedicated to unbiased health coverage, will answer the question for us. So how much should I be paying for my health coverage? On Facebook, I told you what my premium and deductible are, and I get paid 26 times a year. I wondered what yours was, and it's just an interesting description of what everybody else is going through. And nobody's happy. Certainly not moi. That's on my Facebook page. I think you'll find it instructive. And if maybe misery loves company, it's there. Actually, some people are very happy. And, you know, this isn't me knocking Barack Obama or Donald Trump or ACA or anything. I don't know exactly who or what to blame. I'm just dealing with the reality of signing up for coverage that you hope you never need and you think is way too expensive. That's the American health experience right now. Steve, it says here, my New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle.
Oh, good. I was afraid we were done with this.
Artists with the third most top 40 hits in the 1960s and behind Elvis and the Beatles.
You had an I and an E?
Yeah, an I and a C.
An I and a C?
Yeah.
Icarus?
Actually, a lot of you are saying Brenda Lee, but there's no I or C in Brenda Lee. Janis Joplin isn't working either. Beach Boys, no.
It's got to be someone who you wouldn't expect.
Right. Well, but that's the thing. We have to be able to expect it. It's the third most hits in the 1960s. 312-981-7200 if you want to help me out on this.
Are really, the I and the C together?
Yeah. It goes blank, 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 I, C, blank, blank, maybe an E, maybe an E. Not so sure about
blank,
that.
Blank, 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 I, C.
Three blanks and then an I, C, I think. So, like, I don't know who's got a name that looks like that. Yeah, maybe it's not that. I'll tell you this. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 letters. So Ray Charles works.
Yeah.
And the Supreme works. But I can't get anything to work for me on that, especially with that dang IC there. Were you busy this weekend, Steve Bertram?
I was very busy this weekend. Every night we had something.
Were you productive?
You mean, are we doing the handyman poker thing?
Oh, yeah. Here we go. Health coverage in a minute.
Handyman, handyman, does what Lou Manfredini can. Fixes tubes in a flash. Guess who just saved some cash? Hey there, here goes the handyman.
We all do this on Mondays.
Is he strong? Listen, bub. He's got liquid plumber blood.
On Mondays, we come to work and tell our friends, oh, here's what I did. What did you do? We play handyman poker.
Here comes the handyman.
All right, so Steve and I are about to play. Steve, I don't have anything as exotic as building a shed that I did a few weeks ago. It was actually one of those storage boxes, but it had a hinged top, so that required some special care.
So it was a box with a top?
But this week, what I have is not something so tricky as just, I did a lot. I washed the inside and outside of my car, and I have two storage lockers. I was able to consolidate almost everything from the one storage facility or locker into the other one, so that now I won't be paying for that extra storage locker, which will go towards my insurance premiums, but enough about that.
I remember cleaning my locker in middle school, too. That is hard.
It's a it's like a 10-foot by 20-foot space, and it's about 10 feet tall, and it's just chock full of stuff. So it took a lot of work and moving and sort of literally calculating.
Like, sweat equity.
Yes! Yeah. And I got to put this thing there, then I'll move that there. It was like a Jenga puzzle.
So did you set up like a lamp and a chair in the other one now, made it a little reading room you can go to get away?
Actually, there are some people that use their storage lockers that way.
I know.
I'm there on Sunday all by myself. It's just these long rows of storage locker, storage bin. And then I go by a guy, and he's just sitting there looking at me. And it was kind of creepy, I'll be honest with you. So anyway, that's all I got. But I mean, that's what I've got, not all I've got. That's a lot. What have you got,
Steve? It always
surprises
me when you decide to play. So, John, something has happened in my backyard, the weirdest thing over the past 5 or 6 years. And really, I mean this. All of a sudden, it has started flooding. Off my back deck.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. Nothing has really changed.
Well, we had some rains, you remember?
No, I know. But, I mean, it used to not flood.
Oh.
Now it floods. Like 5 years ago it started, it would flood and drain in an hour. The past couple years it won't drain. It just sits there. So we've had a couple people come out and they've regraded the backyard. And, I'm not jumping up and down with the progress. And the most recent, the third effort, they put in like a little 35-gallon or 50-gallon holding pit.
Yeah, they. Go ahead.
In my backyard.
The operative part of that sentence.
But they. I didn't do this. No,
right.
I did not do this.
Yeah.
However,
maybe
so,
we can get them on the line. They'd like to play handyman.
Maybe they can play with a locker. And so from time to time, I have to drain the pit if there's a pool.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we had a lot of rain this weekend. And the problem is when I've been draining the pit with the pump that I bought, the submersible pump that I hook up my garden hose to, it just takes a long time because I was doing a 50-foot run with the hose, and it just was not, it was taking forever to drain.
The story has an ending, right?
It's very frustrating.
Yeah.
So this weekend, I said, Steve, maybe if you created a shorter run with the hose, you could pump the water out faster. So that's what I did. I hooked up a 25-foot hose and then took an old gutter downspout and pumped the hose into the downspout and ran that to my driveway. So it's only pumping through 25 feet and then running through another 20 feet of downspout. And that drained the pit much more quickly. And we played touch football in the backyard yesterday afternoon. And you cleaned out a locker, right? Was that it?
So here's what I wonder, too. So then when you drain all the water out of that pit and you pump it out into the yard or whatever, does it just seep back into the water and then eventually into the ground?
Well, that's
eventually
the problem. That's why I had to run it up to my driveway so it would run down my driveway into the front yard.
Yeah. Okay, and that is the end of the story?
Yeah, that's the end of the story.
Handyman. All right, you can text 21 when you're done texting the answers to my New York Times crossword puzzle.
That's going to get you votes.
Here goes the handyman.
Who do you think was handier this weekend? Me, sweat equity, and really mental power, too. All right, how do I get this out of there and put it in there and fit everything into the one?
Like a little geometry and algebra involved?
Oh, sure. I had a compass and a protractor out.
I'm so confident I'm trying to help you with words.
So 214, that's handyman poker. We play it on some Mondays when we're feeling especially clever about that which we did. I want to just quickly mention Rick Morrissey's piece in the Chicago Sun-Times, and then we'll talk to the folks from Kaiser Health about what your average health coverage should be. Actually, you know what? I think I'll put the Rick Morrissey thing in the second half hour of this hour because the health premiums thing is pretty interesting on my Facebook page. Morrissey's thing is just brilliant. I think it's really eloquent, and I told him that in an email, but I'll get to that in a little bit. In the meantime, on Facebook, I'm King John there. I asked you to tell me what your premiums and deductibles are. How satisfied are you or are you not with your health coverage? And we've been getting a lot of responses. Shirley said, I have $723 per month premium and $3,800 deductible. I had a fall while at our cabin in the UP. Went to the ER. Insurance paid $400 on a $3,200 bill. I've got an appointment to talk to the broker at 2 today. Wonder if it'll take me through next year, and I'm in good health. John, being self-employed and not eligible for subsidies, I think is the worst combo. This is from Susan in the health insurance market. Between our premiums and large deductible, we are out of pocket $36,000 before insurance pays $1. $36,000! Exclamation point. James said, insurance being a necessary evil, you have to have it, but if you use it, it costs more. That is extortion. Linda says, wow, I pay $485 a month for my husband's pension, and I thought that was high. I truly feel for the working class. Susie said, it's free. I live in the UK now, and I never have to worry. Susie, we appreciate you listening to us on the other side of the pond. She said, insurance here has its faults. It's far from perfect, but we never have to worry in the United Kingdom. Jody said, we have been incredibly lucky. My husband is in the laborers' union, and as long as he works a certain amount of hours, we pay nothing for Blue Cross Blue Shield. We haven't had to pay anything for 10-plus years, not even copays. We pay after the bills go through the system. We have a prescription plan, dental and vision insurance. When my husband retires, he will be able to buy his insurance through the union, but I will not be able to. I'm 56 and on thyroid meds. I have to have colonoscopies. I need contacts and glasses. I'm starting to internally freak out every time my husband thinks about retiring. Deb says, John, my husband and I are like you, generally good health, no chronic conditions, not taking much medicine, but we're self-employed, so basically self-insured. We have a $5,000 deductible, a 70-30 split, not more common, 80-20 premiums. So she is out. She said her premiums are now up to $1,200 a month, $1,200 a month. Jean says, my husband's company has great insurance. We're fortunate. This year, they switched from Blue Cross Blue Shield to United Healthcare. But our coverage is the same. Our premium only went up $11 for a family of four. We pay $232 per paycheck. That's pretty good. Bob said, insurance through work is about $500 per paycheck. But it is a younger company. And they look at my old company, which was $1,400 a month. And they look at that. My old company was $1,400 a month. My deductible is $4,000 for my family and $2,500 for me. And then he writes, considering my recent hospital stay and bills of over $200,000, I'm happy. Insurance companies profit while we lose. Time for a single payer plan like the rest of the world. A lot going on in that email, but some of those numbers are jarring, aren't they? Teresa said, I pay $357 a month for supplemental and $64 for Part D, and it's going to go up to $376 and $87, so she'll be at about $450 a month. John, is your employer paying less? Well, less than the one I used to have. And here's the thing. If I'd known all of this, of course I would have done what I did. I mean, we're happy where we are. We like our employer. We like all of that. But what are you going to do? You don't have options. John, I pay $487 a month for myself, and I have a $2,500 deductible. I'm 65. Well, no, there's just a few of them. It's a 219. This is WGN. So, how, you know, I wonder what the sweet spot is. What is a reasonable amount of insurance to expect your employer to pick up or the company they use to charge? I mean, I know it's all over the map and everybody's different, but there's such a range here that it makes you wonder who's getting ripped off and who's really getting a break. Kaiser Health News answers that question in a minute. The Chicago area on the cutting edge, turning different places into green spaces and saving money at the same time. Tonight's cover story on WGN-TV News at 9. If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by our Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now and save up to 35% on new windows and doors for your home. Call Gilkey at 888-3-GILKEY, 888-3-GILKEY. Mary Agnes Carey is the senior correspondent at Kaiser Health. She's been talking to us in the past about questions we've had about health coverage. Often it's the bills that are being promoted, like there's the Affordable Care Act, and there are all these amendment options or these new proposals by the president, Republicans. We all know what happened to that, but now I've just got some questions about premiums and sort of the nuts and bolts of health insurance. Mary Agnes Carey, John Williams, how are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing terrible.
Why? What's wrong?
Over the weekend, I made my electives for my you know, selections for my health coverage. And it's just so dang expensive.
You know, it is. And there's all sorts of different markets we get our insurance from. Some of us get it from our employer. Some are purchasing on the Affordable Care Act exchanges, where open enrollment's happening now. Some people get their coverage under Medicare. Some get it under Medicaid. Some with Veterans Affairs. So it's a lot of different markets to look at, a lot of moving pieces.
And is this not a variable also? Is it up to the employer to decide how much of the coverage they want to pay for?
Absolutely. And there's all sorts of degrees. It's very rare now that your employer covers all of your insurance. It's not unusual for an employer to ask an employee to pay part of the bill, in particular if it's family coverage. But one thing that has happened that you may be noticing in your coverage is it is not unusual now for co-pays and deductibles to be increasing on workers, because that's one way the insurer and your employer who purchases coverage can keep that premium cost lower.
Well, I've seen my premium go up. And, you know, so I've asked people on my Facebook page to tell me what their premium is and what their deductible is. And not only am I seeing numbers like, say, $400 or $500 a month, but then the deductibles are $3,500, $5,000. So that's a fine thank you for not only having what seems to me to be pretty expensive premium, but then you can't even hardly afford to use it.
Well, what's really interesting is there is a survey of employer health benefits. It's an annual survey. It's done by my research colleagues here at the Kaiser Family Foundation, along with the Health Research and Education Trust. And this may not give you or your listeners much comfort, but the average single premium for 2017 was up 4%, and the average family premium up just 3%. And I say that because you and many of your listeners have experienced much higher inflation through the years, much higher, you know, jumps in the health insurance. But again, this is looking at premium costs. When you get to co-pays and deductibles, that's where a lot of us are beginning to see the changes. And again, that's a way for an employer to kind of pass that on to an employee to say, if you go to the doctor, it's this amount of money out of your pocket. If you use a provider out of your network, it's this amount of money. It's not unusual to have a higher copayment if you go to the emergency room or if you go to the urgent care, not because they don't want you to get care, but they want you to think about getting that health care in that very expensive setting before you do it. You know, if you've got a cold or a respiratory issue, can you wait a day and go to the allergist versus going to the ER, which is much more expensive? But the kind of sticker shock, the kind of pocket book issue you're talking about is very, very common.
And the premiums then become less a deciding factor. I mean, because you can buy the premium down, but then you still got to pay the first $5,000 of your care. So who cares what the premium is?
That's right.
That other number seems to be more important.
Yeah, as you make that calculation, you can't pick your health insurance just on the premium. You've got to look at how much are you expected to pay before your insurance kicks in. And some of these lower-priced plans on the Affordable Care Act exchanges, they're called the Bronze. For many people, they're just sort of known as a high-deductible plan. You can put some money away tax-free to help meet those copays and deductibles, but it might have a $6,000 deductible, with some exceptions sometimes for primary care. Some of these policies will say, we want you to go get your annual checkup, we want you to get this screening, this blood test, whatever. Some of that preventive care is covered, but for other services, you have got to front the first several $1,000s. So you've got to read the fine print. You just can't look at that premium price, check the box, and think you understand what your financial obligation is.
Well, and they ask you, how much coverage do you think you're going to use this year? And I go, I don't know. I don't know if my appendix is going to burst next March or
you're right. You may not know if your appendix is going to burst, but you might know, do you have, I, for example, see an allergist frequently, so I know that I'm going to have some office visits there. If you have someone in your house who has any kind of chronic condition, high blood pressure, diabetes, that sort of thing, you can make a little back of the envelope.
Yeah, sure. And we did that. Well, so could you just give me any ballpark estimates, though? I mean, what are some sort of reasonable numbers for people to try and shoot for?
Sure. Here's a couple of ideas. This is, again, looking back at the survey done of the Kaiser Family Foundation and the Health Research and Education Trust. They talked about premiums for 2017. If you were in an HMO, that's a health maintenance organization, a closed panel, single premium might be $7,000. That's for your year. And for the family coverage, it could be as high as $19,000. But often this is split between the employer and the worker. So don't, you know, think it's all going to be out of your pocket. For all plans generally, that includes the health maintenance organizations and the, we call them the PPOs, preferred provider options, where you have a little more flexibility. Premiums for single folks were just about $6,700 for 2017, and for a family, it was around $18,000. But hold on, you look at that, you're talking about that last number. The average employer contribution is around $13,000, but you are asking for the employee to pay about $5,800. So, of course, the people who get this the hardest are the people that aren't working somewhere where an employer's help picking up the bill.
What do you suggest people do then? Like, so should they go to their, so say it's $6,000, you know, I just can't do it. Should they go to their employer and say, I want you to pick up more of the premium? Or should they advocate for their employer to find a less expensive insurance company?
Well, you could do all those things. But remember, if you found an insurer that was less expensive, the question would be, what are you going to get for that money? Will most of you and your colleagues, physicians, take that insurance? Will the hospitals that most of you go to take that insurance? It has not been unusual for employers to not give pay raises to help keep these health care benefits going. Is that a consideration? Again, that's kind of hard to speak of for an entire workplace. But it's just one of those things where you have to kind of sit down and look at your employer options. And maybe ask your employer, has your employer sat down and looked at her plan?
Well, that's,
employers don't do that.
Well, so is there a company out there, is it Blue Cross, is it United Healthcare? Is there a company out there that is regarded as the best value?
I don't think you can say that because they all offer a bunch of products. What I would do if I had a company and I were buying for my own employees, I would be looking at an insurance broker, an insurance agent, trying to talk to them about, here's my yearly bill, here are the number of employees I have, here's the kind of coverage I'd like to offer, and to try to make sure that you understand all the options that are out there for purchasing.
Oh, I got an insurance broker. The more I pay, the broker I get. That's an old insurance joke. All right. Well, this has really been depressing and helpful, Mary Agnes, and I really appreciate your time today. How can folks find out more in this sort of ballpark? What's the website they can go to?
I would recommend they come to Kaiser Health News. That's khn.org. Again, like Kaiser Health News, khn.org. You can read all about health insurance, whether you're buying your own or you're on the Affordable Care Act exchanges. And we have lots of information. It's totally free.
KHN.org. Not only free, but unbiased, too. This isn't an organization that leans one way or another. They're just leaning into getting you information. And we always appreciate
exactly
that.
Right.
Mary Agnes Carey is a senior correspondent there. I'll talk to you again, Mary Agnes. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for having me.
Well done. It's 2:31. Okay, news is next. Oh, and thank you for holding. Some of you said, hey, I got the answer to that. Steve, a lot of people have the answer to that New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle.
Yeah, I think I saw the answer.
Really?
Well, I mean, in one of the texters.
Okay, so were you surprised?
Once I saw it, if it's who it is, I wasn't shocked.
Elvis and the Beatles, number one and number two, 1960s. Who's number three? You'll want to stick around.
I'm Steve Bertrand on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm not above cheating when I do my crossword puzzle in the New York Times on Sunday. It's a new thing I've started to do. It's so distracting. But I couldn't even get the answer with my laptop. So I thought I would share the question with the listeners and we could all have fun learning it together. Artists with the third most top 40 hits in the 1960s behind Elvis and the Beatles. How is that not top of mind? How is that not Ray Charles? Because I don't have room for the S. Connie said she can help me, Steve. Hey, Connie, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi.
What do you know?
Well, I just heard you say the letters I and C, and who came to mind was Eric Burden of the Animals.
Eric Burden?
Yeah.
E-R-E-R-I-C-B-U-R-T. I'm not sure that's going to work, but thank you. I'll see if I can fidget that in there. All right, Connie?
Okay.
Thanks. I appreciate your patience and your help. Is that who you were thinking of, Peggy? You're on the air. Hi.
No, I was thinking of Rick Nelson.
R-I-C-K-N-E-S-O. No, Nick Nelso. I can get you a Rick Nelso, but I don't have room for the N. Unless they would allow me to cut that little box in half and put the O in the top and the N on the bottom. Yeah. Well, anyway, thanks for the call. Thanks for the help. Steve, what did you see on the text line? What looks
like? Is it not there? I don't want to ruin it.
No, go ahead. I don't see it.
Cliff Richard.
C-L. No, that didn't work
either. Oh, really? Because he's one of those guys who was much bigger than you think.
C-L. What's one Cliff Richard song?
Well, he did the theme to Arthur and Arthur's theme and stuff like that in the 70s, but I think he was really big in the 60s.
All I can get is Cliff Rich.
Hmm.
So that doesn't work.
Shoot, I saw that text. I'm like, that's it.
How is it not Ray Charles? It's probably Ray Charles, but then there's no room for it. So I believe the New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle made a mistake.
Oh, yeah, but this is week four, and you've caught a mistake.
And a big one, too.
Yeah, right.
Brenda Lee sort of works, but then that kind of kills the fact that I need an I and a C in the middle. I'll keep plugging away at this. But, I mean, I just thought that everybody would go, oh, yeah, you big dummy, it's Diana Ross. It's ta-da-da-da. It's the Monkees, you monkey. D-I-A-N-A-R-O-S-S works.
So then he checks. Wait, it's not Diana Ross, is it?
Diana Ross does work. But all the other ones that are intersecting with that then have to be wrong. And I don't want to give up on all the other work that I put into this. But I thought everybody would just know. It was like, oh, yeah, everybody knows. It's the Beatles, Elvis, and then Neil Diamond. N-I-E-L-D-I-A-M-O.
This is going to be fun.
Sam Panionovich, WGN Radio Sports, works with me on Saturdays and helps us out during the week, too. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, John. I'm trying to imagine my name being the answer in a crossword someday, and I don't know if anybody would be able to spell it, so I don't think I'm going to be I don't think I have that luxury yet.
How do you spell Panionovich?
P-A-N-A-Y-O-T-O-V-I-C-H. Come on, just the way it looks.
Panionovich. Wow, yeah. You lost me at hello. That's I can't spell that. Panionovich.
You know, when I was in grade school, my name would not fit in the Scantron forms. So when I get my results back, we only had room for 11 letters, and my last name is 12 letters. So I would never get my results on time because they couldn't find out who I was. They would always go to the wrong person because they were looking for the different, you know, the different name.
Well, your dad's pretty well known around these parts. You'd think they've seen Panionovich before.
Yeah, you'd think so.
So I found a website that purports to have the answers. Do you want to know?
Do I?
Well, you have to. Let me just say this: you'll have to do some reconstruction on the rest of your
page. Oh no. Oh, no.
This
is a name that I'd know and recognize then, huh?
New York Times, nytcrosswordanswers.com.
Well, don't do that. That's cheating.
Well, you just said you looked on your Apple and your laptop and couldn't find it. I won't tell you. I'm happy not to tell you.
All right, but that means then that for not is not futile. All right, Steve, tell me what it is.
This says, and this just says it. I don't know. It's not official. Brenda Lee.
Brenda Lee works. Okay. Okay, boy, I shouldn't be doing this in ink, I'll
tell
you that.
Where's the I or the C?
I'm sorry, so sorry.
Yeah, me too. All right, says Brenda Lee. Sampanianovich picks five NFL games each weekend against the spread. He's part of a national contest and has been leading or in the top category for a while. And then last week he had a bad weekend. How are we doing this weekend?
We are 2-2, and this will make a lot of people upset. We need the Packers tonight on Monday Night Football. We need the Packers to cover 2.5 points. We won the Jets on Thursday. We won the Panthers yesterday, and then lost the Buccaneers and Chiefs. Tampa's quarterback got hurt in the first half and didn't play in the second half, although he did pick a fight from the sideline when he wasn't in the game anymore, which I found just super weird. He got hurt, but he was still able to start a fight with the other team, which, whatever. But, yeah, long story short, 2 wins, 2 losses, and we need the Cheeseheads tonight.
Did you see there was a fight on the field, too, and it wasn't the quarterback. It was a couple of other players in one of the game, and, you know, the one guy didn't like the other guy, and he pushed him, and then the other guy pushed him back. And then it's rare to see guys throwing punches at the helmeted heads, mind you, of the other guys. But it was an old-fashioned Donnybrook there for a minute.
Yeah, that was A.J. Green, the receiver for the Cincinnati Bengals, and he was fighting with Jalen Ramsey, cornerback for the Jacksonville Jaguars. They both got tossed, and they might actually both get suspended for Week 9 this coming weekend. You can't hit each other. You can't throw punches when you're on the field.
This is funny because nobody has more protective gear on than NFL players, and it is the most violent of the sports. But if you fight, that's against the rules. In baseball, where you really are just, you just got cotton uniforms on or whatever they are, fights happen, and it's quote-unquote part of the game, to say nothing of hockey, where people are still arguing that it should be encouraged or still allowed. There's no continuity with the rules of fighting in sports, Sam.
Right. Well, and the most dangerous play in football is when the receiver goes across the middle and gets a pass from a quarterback, and a head-hunting safety is there waiting, or on a kickoff play. You know, kickoff play is very dangerous, too, when both sides are pretty much running full speed at each other, sort of like on the field of battle. This was a really dumb thing to happen, and you had both guys throwing punches at each other while they were wearing their helmet. I don't know how intelligent that is. And then if you follow the story off the field, Ramsey, who plays for the Jaguars, was trying to find A.J. Green near the Bengals locker room. Like,
really?
This spilled out underneath the stadium, and they were still trying to duke it out in the locker room area.
Evidently, these people don't think like the rest of us, because I just come back to this so often with professional athletes that are doing stupid stuff. You're making millions of dollars. The window is only open for a few years. That's going to close, and then you're going to be doing what the rest of us are doing, and it does not pay millions of dollars. Don't do anything to ruin that, man. The window is open. The money is coming in. You are closing it now. What are you doing? That's the way I think.
Well, you're not on your own there. And if you think about it, I mean, do you know the average length of an NFL career? Do you know the number?
It's not in my, let me guess.
Length,
it's
the average player.
It's not in my New York Times Sunday crossword puzzle, but I'll give you a guess here. Hold
the
on.
The NFL Players Association has an answer for you. The average career length
Well,
is
can I guess? Just
years.
Let me guess for just a second
Go
here.
Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin, do you know over there what is the average? So Kevin's a sports.
I would guess about 2 years or so, 2 or 3 years. Sam, does that sound about
two,
right?
2.4 years. Final answer.
You just took Kevin's answer and raised him like 0.4. The answer is 3.3 years. I don't know how you get to 3.3, but just over 3 years. That's the average career length for an average NFL player, according to the NFLPA.
Yeah, you still make those people. Then, if you work 3 years, you're probably going to make $1 million in those 3 years, right?
Well, it depends on the position. If you're a quarterback, you make a lot more than a long snapper, per se. But, yeah, I mean, I'd say the average NFL salary, if you think about, you know, you take a guy like Mike Glennon, for example, this year is making almost $18 million.
Yeah, but, I mean, is there a minimum? What's the NFL minimum? Do they have a players' union?
Less than $1 million.
Well, yeah, but
yeah,
I mean,
average, it says the average NFL salary is $1.9 million.
All right, and if it comes handy, I'd like to know what the minimum is, because if on average you work 3 years, and the
looks like it's $465,000.
There you go. So if you play the average amount, you can't get out of there with less than $1.2 million minus agent fees and taxes. What a nice problem for you! And then there you are, like a dumb fighting somebody for who knows what reason. Ain't nobody going to pay you $1.2 million at WGN. I can promise you that.
Right. Well, and there are so many issues now in the NFL, and I know that you got a chance to take a look at Rick Morrissey's column in the Sun Times, and now the patriotism that has been so important for years in the NFL before games continues to just, you know, be a thorn in the side of the NFL. The league just can't handle these player protests. The commissioner has asked them to stop. They have not listened.
Well,
the president has said they should be fired. Nobody's going to listen. This is going to go on all season long with these players kneeling during the anthem. And a lot of people are not happy.
They're in a no-win situation. So now they're saying the ratings are down, and Papa John's doesn't want to have anything to do with them anymore because they said that they're ruining the game with these protests. But I'm not sure that the ratings are down because of what the president and the owners are saying, that these lousy players are protesting. Maybe ratings are down because they don't like what the president and the owners are saying. Or maybe it has nothing to do with that, and the game is sort of just on the downward slide. That happens, you know?
I also think there's a problem because of the injuries, John. I mean, if you look at all the players that are on the shelf, you look at Aaron Rodgers and J.J. Watt and now Deshaun Watson. And I mean, there are so many superstars right now in the NFL that just can't stay healthy. Odell Beckham Jr., receiver for the New York Giants, is out. Rob Gronkowski can't stay in the lineup. Dalvin Cook, the Vikings rookie running back. So many good
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, no kidding. Aaron is out.
Rodgers. He was first.
Who's the quarterback for who was quarterbacking for the Dolphins yesterday?
Jay Cutler.
I know. That's my point. I mean, he's got broken ribs. He has five broken ribs, and he's out there taking snaps. And nobody even likes him. That's how bad it is in the NFL this year.
Can I say, though, I don't care about Papa John. I mean, I could care less about Papa John and his business. And for years, he's aligned with Rick Pitino, who's one of the slimiest college basketball coaches in the world. He just got, you know, put in handcuffs by the FBI. So, Papa John can pick his battles here and there. And he has made so much money off the NFL, and he's capitalized off so many things. So I don't want to hear that his business is down because of protests. That's a bunch of bunk.
That's Sam Panionovich, however you spell it. Nice to hear your voice today, Sam. I will talk to you on Saturdays, and I appreciate you jumping in with us on Mondays, too.
You got it.
Take care now. It's a 250 on WGN.
All of us. Online. WGNradio.com.
I don't remember if I already did this one. Do I need to read the Amita Health piece, or have we already done it? Read this, too. Amita Health knows you like no one else, the one who's there for you always. Lifelong bonds that make all the difference, the one who knows what you need and when you need it. At Amita Health, they always put you first. Amita Health includes 9 hospitals, 7 immediate care centers, 78 outpatient locations in the west and northwest suburbs. Visit AmitaHealth.org/YOU or call 855-MY-AMITA. In sickness and in health. Speaking of those player protests in the pizza joint, 18 players took a knee during the national anthem, according to Associated Press's counting at the games over the weekend. And obviously, we got one game tonight. Rick Morrissey in the Sun-Times said, "I'm guessing the NFL regrets the way its pregame productions have evolved into gooey patriotic pageants complete with military flyovers. It thought it was safe in championing patriotism. Who could be against love of country? But the NFL's immense self-regard could not be content with just that. The league saw itself as a unifying force in this country. Hand over heart, it decided to lead us Americans and pander its way to more money. Teams trotted out military veterans for our approval and the NFL's approval rating, and we applauded. Now, patriotism, however you define it, is biting the NFL in the backside. The league is still trying to come to grips with player protests before and during the national anthem. Commissioner Roger Goodell has asked that players not kneel, and in response, he's been ignored. Colin Kaepernick, the player who first knelt to bring to light social injustice issues and instances of police brutality, has filed a grievance against the NFL, saying owners have colluded to keep him out of the league. You reap what you sow. And the NFL has sowed patriotism, or at least what it thought was the safe plastic version of it, for years, not the messy kind where citizens exercise their democratic rights and speak up. The league likes patriotism as an ideal, not a discussion. Now it has an ugly national debate on its hands. Veterans Day is Saturday, and some fans are calling for a boycott of the games that weekend to protest the protesting players. They think kneeling during the anthem disrespects the military. Don't waste your time trying to tell them that the anthem is not the property of veterans or active military personnel, or that the freedom to protest is one of the blessings of democracy. The NFL, of course, just wants it all to go away, and of course, it won't. Morrissey had more to say than that, but there's a few of the notes, and I think that's well said. It's 2:56. You got knee pain and you want it to go away, but that's not going to happen by itself, and you don't think there's anything you can do about it. I want you to call the Joint Relief Institute. There they use advanced digital technology to see why and exactly where your knee is bothering you. And then they gently place an all-natural joint lubricant into your knee to replace that lost fluid. That's what they did for me. It was pain-free, and I'm playing basketball without any discomfort now. This is not surgery. You know, too often doctors miss the targeted area with injections. But at the Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park, their precise advanced digital imaging lets them guide the soothing fluid to the exact spot that's troubling you. Don't give up hope. Call 708-888-0000. Check out the 90-plus five-star Google reviews they've received. They're in Orland Park. That's 708-888. You can remember that. And 0000 as in zero pain. 708-888-0000. Zero.
Wow, that's a good number.
Yeah.
I should get that number. Although the people would call me. I don't want that number. I take it back. I didn't mean it, John.
Anytime somebody has a good number or a good URL, I go, wow, what did that cost you? You know,
it's
like
true.
If you had smith.com or fixit.com mm-hmm. or something that everybody yeah. would go, oh, that's easy to remember. It costs a fortune.
Right. We had a guest on Friday who couldn't remember his URL because it was so many words.
Backslashes and dots.
Well, he just got it. He was.
But it was so long.
Right.
Let's be honest. It was so long.
Yeah. And that thing, and what always what I tell people is that you want to get a URL so that it starts moving in Google, right? But if you Google, I much prefer to tell people just Google, you know, it was John Landecker, as a matter of fact, great John Landecker.
Oh, yeah, right.
Just say John Landecker book.
John couldn't remember.
John couldn't remember his own
John
URL.
John Records Landecker Hall of Fame recipient stoner. I don't know. It was just long. He couldn't remember and we couldn't either. Then we couldn't find it.
Well, yeah. Do you remember when we first heard about cyber squatters, people before everything was taken up where they would just buy stuff and then know that eventually someone would come around and mm-hmm. try and get it?
Right.
Like
squatters. I used to work for a guy. We had a boss that was a squatter. He would watch for anything that would happen. And you know what? For like $10.99 for a year, you can go get anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So he'd squat. He would spend $100 a month squatting on things that he figured was, you know, that maybe somebody was going to want.
Have you ever done that?
No. For the show, I've done it.
Oh, yeah, for the show. Well, I did it once. I one time bought something that I thought, someone's going to come knocking. They're going to want this.
Mm-hmm. Did they ever come knocking?
Apple.com?
Did they ever want it?
No, I bought reelectalgore.com. Turns out they didn't need that.
Yeah.
But I thought that was going to come around.
You didn't get the memo from Moscow about that, apparently.
I owned for Matt Bubala and I spent $100, I think it was. We bought reelect Al Gore, figuring he was going to win the first time.
Did you do R-E-E-elect?
Right. I don't know which version of that was available, but we bought one of them, and it turned out to be $100 we never got back.
It was worth a shot.
It was worth a shot.
Yeah,
it was
good
something.
As anything.
Yeah. Well,
$100
was it good for
anything?
Al? You should. You know what? If you ever get the opportunity, and I'm sure you will at some point, to interview Al Gore, you should tell him that.
I know.
See how quickly he hangs up on
you. Dude, you owe me $100 right now.
Yeah. I bought your URL.
Dude.
Yeah. All right.
What do you got?
It's going to be actually A.B. Stoddard. The great A.B. Stoddard is in studio. She's in the green room right now waiting to talk to us. She's the host of No Labels Radio on Sirius XM, of course, and then on Real Clear Politics, and then she's on the CNN and the Fox and everything else
you
could possibly imagine. So A.B. will be here. Ben Bradley will be at the WGN TV News. He's got a big story coming up. It's November. Only real news happens in November and May and February.
They save a lot of stuff for November.
Yeah.
You know? They sort of tee it up right about now.
Funny how everything, like the most important scandals.
That's weird because the ratings for TV are now too.
I'd not heard that.
Oh, that's weird.
Well, it works out for them. Good for them. What a coincidence.
So all that. And then we've got, to me, the biggest story of the day is not what's necessarily happening in Asia. I mean, it could be, or obviously the, you know, the story in Texas, we'll keep an eye on developments in that, that incredible tragedy. Mm-mm-mm. But the story that I think is going to impact our lives over the next 5 to 10 years more than anything else that's happening right at this moment is happening in Saudi Arabia.
The roundup of those princes.
If Saudi Arabia turns into a dictatorship, which it always has kind of been. It's a, you know, it's a monarchy, right? The kingdom, as it's known. But if it turns into a dictatorship that is either, they're never in our pocket. We're either in theirs, or we're partners, and that's the way it has always been. And the question really becomes, for us, what does that mean for the future of the Middle East, and what does that mean for the future of oil prices, and what does that mean for the stability of the world? Hmm. There's something going on there. They're outsized in terms of their impact. And so that's so we'll get some detail on what's actually going on there, because they rounded up as this guy rounded up his own family.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, yeah.
And it's
I didn't think that happened over there. I thought they were all kind of cozy, and everybody's got $4 billion anyway. Mm-hmm. So
rounded that should be enough.
Corruption, schmorruption. It's all good.
Rounded it up and said these are people who are living. They are living ostentatious lives, which is against the Quran.
Oh,
what does that tell us?
Bummer. What's the point of having $4 billion if you can't have a couple of Ferraris?
Right. And that and he's doing this whole populist thing, and he's going to get rid of these guys. And these guys are really heavily invested in American companies.
Yeah. Like
you're going to see some
Google and companies we know and love.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Big impacts.
Have a good show, Will, right. Anna.